Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The birth of Jesus happened in this way. Matthew begins in the 18th verse. It happened in this way. And he tells this tale about Mary and Joseph and the baby. But Matthew doesn't start his gospel that way. In fact, Matthew starts with a genealogy and goes back to the beginning of time and traces Jesus' heritage and lineage through all of the prophets and all of the great people of the Bible that all of us know from our heavy and careful study of the Old Testament, until finally we arrive at Joseph. Now, for me, and I don't know about you, but I find genealogies remarkably dull. Now, part of it might be that I don't have a family tree. I have a family stump. So you get to my father and it kind of goes, "Arr!" But I also think it was because sitting in Old Testament class and having to go over those things and then having tests on them, I don't find genealogies exciting. But for the people at that time and for any oral tradition, genealogies are exciting. They're really great. And so, unlike modern times, people reading in those days would have turned to the genealogy and gone, "Right on, we are going to do a genealogy." Because it lets you know to whom that person belongs and where they belong, both in hierarchy and history. Your genealogy unfolds your story so that you have your place in history. And that's how Matthew begins the story of the birth of Jesus. And he does it as he repeats over and over again so that scripture might be fulfilled. And so you go through this long genealogy until you get all the way down to Joseph. And then no question is answered. You're still left with, "Who's your daddy?" Right? Because in the story, Joseph is betrothed to Mary. And Mary is, as they say euphemistically, with child. And Joseph does immediately, I mean, his first impulse is to do what would have been natural for that time. To, again, euphemistically, put her away quietly. Dump her. Right? I mean, this is a shameful thing. For his fiancée to be pregnant, because Lord knows Joseph was a good boy and wouldn't have any too quickly. And so he's got this whole shame thing going, but instead in a dream, God says to him, "Take Mary as your wife. She will bear a son, and you will call him Jesus, for he will save all people." And Joseph says yes. Poor Joseph is sort of the unheralded hero. I often compare Joseph to the father of the bride at a wedding. Any more worthless person than a father at a wedding? Right? The father of the bride? Give me a break. Bring your checkbook, sit down, be quiet. That's it. That's the whole thing for the father of the bride. The mother gets to do all this stuff. Well, now the father of the bride does get to at least walk her down. But that's it. Otherwise, bring the checkbook. Joseph is the same way. Ever watch a Christmas pageant? For 2,007 years, Joseph has never had a line. Joseph's job is to sit quietly and look adoringly at Jesus. think about it. He makes the momentous and I think risky decision to say yes to God, to marry this young bride and raise Jesus as his own. And it's the beginning of a new history. God takes that same risk with all of us. Clearly, in the beginning of our Testament, which is, by the way, Christians sometimes forget, 2/3 of our Bible is the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament. But in that, God's history of salvation unfolds for the people of Israel, and then all of a sudden the Gentiles jump up. Latecomers. God chooses us in the same way that Joseph chooses Jesus. Joseph says to Jesus, "You are my son." And in the ancient world, in part of my research for this sermon, I found an ancient testimony that basically says that if a man says that a son is his son, don't ask questions. It just is. So whether the child is yours or not, when you declare it, it becomes so. And when God declares us, you, as God's child, beloved, and saved through the Messiah, it is so. So there's something about this story more than a cute little story about a baby in a manger and braying donkeys and mooing cows. St. Paul calls it our adoption. We've been adopted by God and made God's own. And that to me is the power of this fourth Sunday of Advent, is that on this day we get a peek into God's grace and God's love. We get just a glimpse into the story that will change us and the world. The birth of Jesus Christ happened in this way, rooted in the lineage from the beginning until now. And again, that salvation story will unfold and the Christ will be born, the anointed one, the Messiah, come into the world, and God will say again, "I choose you." The birth of Christ happened in this way. Amen.